Oh, okay. All right. We are so glad to have Jay and Barb Cook here with us this evening. And Brother Jay's history with Bible Baptist Church goes back to the days at Madison Avenue. It was 2005 that Brother Jay first came to be with us, and I think you're going to tell something about that, right? So I won't steal that thunder right there. But he came to us in 2005 when we were on Madison Avenue. Wasn't long until he was leading the singing in our congregational singing, also teaching the young people in our youth department. And back that time, we had some families, the Kinsfathers were here, the Gasperwitches, the Bradens, the Leafleys. They put him to work, all right? They tested his mettle. So he had that youth group over there, and we had some great years there. And he was with us as we moved over here to this building. He was still our song leader and our team director at that time, until God moved him away from us, or at least maybe it was the devil, but somebody took him away from us. He moved on to another place, and he is now serving the Lord as the music director of Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. And as I got ready to put together the speakers for this week, it was exciting to look at the different fellows we had, know that I didn't know if Jay would be able to make it or not, so I sent him a message, told him what we're doing, asked him if he could come, and he graciously accepted to come and be with us. So for 7 years, he was here with us at Bible Baptist Church, from 2005 to 2012. And so we're glad that he's here with us tonight. And Brother Jay, come ahead and preach for us, if you would, please.
Wow. My. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will begin at verse 58, the last verse of chapter 15. First of all, I do want to say thank you Pastor Leafley for allowing me the privilege of being here, and I do mean it's a privilege. I know many of the people who have stood behind this podium, and this is an honor. It's an honor for me. Well, Pastor already told you the year. I wasn't going to say the year, but at the time I was teaching a driving school in downtown Cambridge, right beside the courthouse. And there was this young girl, 16-year-old girl, by the name of Sarah Leafley. And she came to the driving school and I didn't know much about her. I can't figure out how I found out her dad was a pastor. To which I got excited. Hey, where's your dad? Did your dad go to Bible school? Yeah. Where'd he go to Bible school? She said, Maslin. I said, well, I went to Maslin. I went to the high school in Maslin. When did he graduate? Blah, blah, blah. You know, poor girl. I just attacked her with all these questions. And I still remember the night that I found that out. I walked out there. You were in the car waiting for her. And I walked out and introduced myself. And hi, you know, and this and that. I heard you went to Maslin. Yeah, and we talked. It was soon after that, as Pastor mentioned, I started attending here. Started leading congregationals. Had the teen class, and for a little bit we dabbled with the choir. For a while we dabbled with the choir. Folks, I want to tell you something. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Your pastor is one of my favorite Bible teachers and Bible preachers. Yes, amen indeed. I specifically remember that when I started coming to the church, it was one of the hardest times of my life. And I was a broken man. And the Word of God was preached, and I got a little more each time, a little more each time. And I remember that, and I think of you often. I can remember on Wednesday nights, we started going verse by verse through the book of Psalms. And I actually would be excited to come to Wednesday night church because of the way he fed the people the book of Psalms. I remember that very well. The best sermon that he ever preached. It was the longest sermon he ever preached. And I'm talking about the sermon of his life. It wasn't very long ago I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it was verse 58. You should be there by now. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The first person that came to my mind when I read that verse was Pastor Leithley. And of course, Bible Baptist Church. I mean, come on folks, you know you're doing something right when after 30 years, as the Apostle Paul put it, you are abounding in the work of the Lord. You are still here, and that's great. And tonight I want to ask you, open your Bibles. I already asked you that. Chapter 15, right where you're at. But we're going to turn a page back, maybe a page for you. Verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. Because one of the things that I remember Pastor Leithley saying would be, when you see the word therefore in the verse, in the Bible, you go back and see what it's there for. See, y'all know that. And I just read that in verse 58. Therefore. Because the fact of the matter is, church, the fact is, sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we forget our mission. We become apathetic when it comes to serving the Lord. Sometimes it's just flat out difficult to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And as much as I hate to say it, the fact is, it seems as though, especially now, with the pandemic that we have gone through and are still apparently going through. And it's not only the pandemic, but we see our culture today who is actually proud of their sin. It seems as if right is wrong and wrong is right. Society seems to be upside down. We have a government now that no longer fears God. We are being taught to follow the science. You're being trained to comply. So what's a Christian to do? I mean, well, tonight we're going to see what the Apostle Paul points us toward in our thinking. Let's look tonight. Let's hear. Let's understand what it is we, the church, need to do so that we will remain steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And especially during the times that we are in, this time of chaos. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's understand right from the get-go, make no mistake about this, God has placed us here at this time for a reason. So, we saw the word therefore. We're going to go back and find out what it's there for. Look at verse 35 with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, church, let's understand. The Apostle Paul, interestingly, is in a discussion here about the reality and the veracity of the resurrection. You see, in Corinth, there were those who were cynical. They were skeptical about the resurrection. And they were actually teaching that there wasn't a physical resurrection of the body for you and for me. I should qualify that and say for believers. And the Apostle Paul has been arguing against that wrong thinking. You see, Paul understood it well, that Jesus Himself had a physical resurrection, and as believers, as Christians, we will also. Now this is just Jay, okay? This is just my thinking. You can shoot this down if you want. But I got a funny feeling that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote that verse I just read to you, he might have been a little snarky. And he might have written it like been thinking in his mind while he's writing. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now the reason that I think that's possible is because of his answer. And I love his answer. He says, fools. Thou fool. You know, today we might say, you're an idiot if you think that. Let's read on the rest of it. I'm going to read verses 36, 37, and 38. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or some other grain, verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. Paul is saying, hey, folks, look at nature. He's saying, if you put an ugly brown bulb, or a seed, if you will, you put it into the ground, what happens? Well, it starts to get roots. It'll split in half. Greenery starts to shoot upward. The Apostle Paul compares that to us. You see, as that warm sun beats down on that budding plant, with this ugly thing, you'll actually get a beautiful red amaryllis that will appear from what was once an ugly brown bulb. You know, Paul tells us the same thing that we observe in nature will take place in the resurrection. And look again at verse 38. I know I read it, but it says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. God giveth it a body. All of nature illustrates the providential control of our God. Let's keep going. Verse 39. I'll read the first half of verse 40. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Now folks, just as we see different bodies, obviously we see human beings. You can just look around. You can see the bodies of human beings. Then of the beast, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, nobody said, oh my. I was waiting for it. There are also fish and birds. And there's that of the sun, the moon, and the stars. In church, our bodies will be different from these that we have now. You see, now our present bodies are designed to have 14 pounds of pressure per square inch pushing against it. You know, we can only travel in the air or underwater with pressurized cabins or special suits. And because our present bodies are designed to take a specific mix of air composed of 78% oxygen, 21% nitrogen, and 1% of assorted gases, we remain essentially earthbound. Oh, but our eternal bodies will require neither a spacesuit nor an oxygen tank, and we are going to be free to explore. We're going to be free to soar. We'll be able to do all kinds of things that we can't even dream up in our minds right now. You see, right now, we're inhabiting the ugly brown bulb or seed. Oh, but child of God, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Oh, what a happy day that's going to be. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh yeah, looking forward to that day. Let's keep going. Look with me, the second half of verse 40. He goes on, he says this, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. so also is the resurrection of the dead. You see, if tonight, when we walk out of here, you look up into the sky, assuming there's no clouds, you're going to see stars. And those stars are going to be shining with different intensities. You see, it is very clear in nature that diversity exists among all living beings. Such diversity is not only reflected in this earthly sphere, but also in the heavenly. Now, you don't need to turn there, but in the book of Daniel, in chapter 12, we see that those who win souls shall shine like the stars forever. In other words, those who are serving the Lord now and making their lives count for today will shine brightly throughout eternity. Now listen to me, church. If you will make the kingdom of God the priority in your life, if you will make it the passion in your life, I can stand here now and promise you, you will never regret it. I thought there'd be a few more amens than that. Let's hear what else the Word of God tells us. Second half of verse 42. Paul's going on. He says, "It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." Keep going. "It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." Verse 44. "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." Child of God, the body that we put into the ground one day, it decays. But Paul says, hey, that ain't the end of the story, for it will rise in glory and in power. Keep going. The second half of verse 44. Verse 44, second half. "It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." I said 44, second half of 44. Forgive me. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. You remember Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden? It's in Genesis chapter 3 that God tells Adam, "From dust you came, and to dust you will return." Folks, is it any wonder that the 17 elements that make up dirt that's under our feet are the same elements that make up our body? You know? Interesting. Second half of verse 45. "The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." The first Adam was made a living soul, but as most of you know, there was sin. Adam dropped an atom bomb on this earth called sin. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, He was made a quickening spirit, or in other words, a life-giving spirit. You see, Jesus is the one who gives life. Go on to verse 46. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual." Folks, we all began as natural people. It is not until we are born again by the life-giving spirit of the first Adam that we become spiritual beings. First half of verse 47. "The first man is of the earth, earthy." The first man is of the earth, earthy. You know, there are many Christians today who do not witness. There are many Christians who do not teach a Sunday school class or serve the Lord somehow, some way. And they say that because they don't feel as if they're polished or perhaps articulate enough. But you see, folks, little do they realize that they are the ideal candidates for ministry, because people will marvel at the treasure and not at them. And folks, whether it is congregationally or personally, the whole key to ministry is to get out of the way and let people see the beauty of Jesus inside of you. That which is inside the ugly bulb or seed. The beauty is within. I've heard Pastor Leafley say, anyone can change a light bulb. It's right. There is something we can do. You say, I'm getting older. There's something you can do. Now, I hesitate on that light bulb thing. Woo! Pastor Braden, was that him on the ladder? Oh, wow. Okay, but you know what he means by that. You know, most light bulbs can be changed. Let's keep going in God's Word. The second half of verse 47. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also bear the image of the heavenly. Folks, although I am free to be who I am, just this earthy bulb or seed, if you are saved tonight, you will be much, much more. Someday, we are going to bear the image of Christ in a body that's custom made for the heavenlies. Yes, amen. But hold on. There's more. Look at verse 50. This say I, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Folks, our present bodies of flesh and blood cannot move into heaven. First of all, we're sinful. We're the flesh. You can't be in the presence of a holy God that way. But also, our bodies, this body that we're in right now, it is not designed for heaven. And that is what death is all about. For the believer, death is simply a way of leaving this earthly tabernacle and moving into our new bodies, exchanging the old crusty brown bulb for a new life-giving new bodies, a new creation of beauty. Look with me at the first half of verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, here we go. Following Paul's discussion of the need to die in order that we will be able to move into the eternal realm, he throws us something new into the equation. Look at the second half of verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. You see, although everyone that is saved will be changed, kind of like a caterpillar into a butterfly, not everyone will die. Well, how can a person change if he doesn't die? I'm so glad you asked. See, you left a great impact on my life. Look at verse 52 and 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Hey, some of us are going to be changed immediately without having to go through that death process at all. Look at verse 54. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, church, death is swallowed up in victory. The Word of God declares that, so it is going to be. So the fact of the matter is, instead of mourning and moaning over believers who have died, we can truly be happy or elated for them if we understand the big picture of eternity. Now, certainly, we're sad. We miss them. I get that. But when we think of them, we can be happy for them. Look at verses 55, 56, and 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A father and his son are in the car. The little boy was deathly afraid, and I do mean deathly, I said afraid, deathly allergic to bees. Deathly allergic to bees. Thus, when a bee came around, he was deathly afraid. They're in the car. The little boy hears a bee starting to buzz around him. Daddy! Daddy, there's a bee buzzing around me. Help me, Daddy. Help me, Dad. There's a bee. The father reached over, grabbed the hold of that bee, and he squeezed that bee in his hand. When the father's boy opened his hand, don't you know that bee flew back out of the hand and started buzzing around the boy's head again. And the boy started screaming, Dad, a bee, the bee's buzzing around my head. And the father very calmly but firmly spoke to his son. He said, Son, you don't have to scream. The father opened his hand and he showed the boy the stinger was in the palm of his hand. And the boy's father continued and said, all that bee can do now is make noise, because I have the stinger in my hand. Child of God, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took that stinger. All that death can do now is just make a bunch of noise, because death has lost its sting. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, Paul says, because of the resurrection, nothing that we can do for the Lord is useless. You see, in our humanity and in our flesh, sometimes we become apathetic about serving the Lord because we don't see any results. Knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ has won the ultimate victory should affect the way that we live right now. Church, I came here tonight to tell you, don't allow discouragement over the apparent lack of results keep you from doing your work of the Lord. Doing it enthusiastically as you have opportunity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in light of the reality of eternity, in light of the cross of Calvary, in light of the fact that what we do on this earth will determine our heavenly intensity, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us, work for the Lord so your labor will not be in vain. Oh, so much of what we do with our time, with our money, with our energy, so much of that is vain. So much of what we do, it's going to fall apart. It's going to pass away. It's going to break down. Oh, the church, that which what we do for the Lord, the worship that we give Him, the work that we do for Him, the gifts that we bring Him, they will not be in vain. Even if it seems that what you're doing for Him isn't making a very big impact, know this, your labor is not in vain. Folks, our Lord doesn't pay you on a commission. He pays you for your labor. He doesn't pay you depending on how successful you think your service is to Him. He pays you by the hour. Church, be faithful to do what He has called you to do and leave the rest to Him. Because one day we are going to share in the glory of His resurrection. Tonight I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to rededicate your service to the Lord, to rededicate your attitude, to rededicate your enthusiasm to God. Because folks, the fact of the matter is, whether you die or you get taken up in the rapture, you will stand before God and we will glory in His resurrection. Amen, church? Pastor Leithy, I'm going to turn it over to you. You close as you see fit.